We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing with you another Way of Truth broadcast. This broadcast service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin Craig speaking, and we are inviting you to stay with us, trusting the Lord will make our broadcast a blessing to you today. Our Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the privilege we have of being a child of God. And we realize that it is only because of your love and the gift of your dear Son. And we truly thank you for that. We also thank you that when Jesus came and suffered and died, he died for all, and that whosoever will may come and drink of the waters of life freely. We thank you for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious people today. You see each one that's in our congregation, and we're trusting the Holy Spirit will take us and take our broadcast and make it a blessing to each soul. You also know their burdens and their cares and their concerns and their needs, And we're asking you to minister to each one, because we know that you are a God of love and a God of compassion. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our subject for today's broadcast, The Amazing Grace of God. Reading from Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And then in Romans chapter 5 and verse 20 we read, Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Today's world needs the grace of God as revealed in the Bible. The grace of God introduced into the world 2,000 years ago met the problem of sin then And the grace of God will do the same today if people will but take advantage of it. Now, I realize that grace, the word grace, has more than one meaning, but it is commonly used to express the thought of unmerited favor. And truly, the grace of God is unmerited favor. But I say today's world, when we look around us and see the sin, the wickedness, and the evil, and the ungodliness that's going on in the world today, surely you will agree with me that today's world needs the grace of God as revealed in the Holy Word of God, the Bible. Grace is God's answer to sin. Yes, grace is God's answer to sin. For we read in Romans 5:21, as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice the words of the Apostle Paul here in this verse of Scripture. As sin hath reigned unto death. Yes, the wages of sin is death. I realize there are multitudes of people in the religious world who have been taught and thus believe that they go on sinning more or less every day in word, deed, and thought, and they just cannot help themselves. But sin reigns unto death, not unto life. Notice again this verse of Scripture, Romans 5:21. As sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now that's the grace that I am saying the world needs today. That grace through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The grace of God is something marvelous and wonderful, and the grace of God is offered unto one and all, and the grace of God reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace is the cure for and not the cause of condemnation. That very familiar passage of Scripture, the words of the Lord Jesus, as recorded by the Apostle John in chapter 3, beginning with verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So grace is the cure for and not the cause of condemnation. Sin is what brings condemnation, but grace will bring freedom from sin and thus freedom from condemnation. Will man be lost because he does not obey the gospel? Well, the unsaved are lost already. It's not that he's going to be lost, but he is lost already. If you today are living in sin, then you are lost. And it is not something to make a joke about. There was a sectarian man asked one time, "Have you found Jesus?" And his answer was, "Well, I didn't know that he was lost." Beloved, it isn't Jesus that is lost. It is mankind that is lost. And we do need to find him. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Will man be lost because he does not obey the gospel? He is already lost. And he needs to realize that. I trust that even through this broadcast, souls, if you're living in sin, will be made to realize that you are lost and you need to take advantage of the grace of God. Will God condemn the heathen who never heard of Christ? The heathen is already lost and he's already condemned. And without excuse, according to the Apostle Paul, as he explains it in Romans chapter 1, verses 19 through 24. And I'll not take time to read all of those verses, but the Apostle Paul there said that people did not honor God. When they knew God, therefore they were turned over to reprobate mind, believed a lie, were going to be damned. They worshiped the creature more than the Creator, and they began to worship four-footed beasts and fowls in the air and so forth. And the reason why there are heathens today is because when you go back in the history of man, when they knew God, they did not honor Him as God, and they were turned away from the true God and turned unto idols. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Professing themselves to be wise, Paul said, they became fools. Yes, it is a fool that has said in his heart, there is no God. I do believe that if a person who does not know of Christ, if he will obey the law of conscience, then that he will be saved, because he does not transgress the law of conscience. And the only way, of course, he could be saved would be through the shed blood of the Son of God, even though he did not know the gospel as we know it today, who have access to the Word of God. Now, grace includes responsibility. I have quoted this passage of Scripture numbers of times on our broadcast, and I'll quote it again today. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So grace includes responsibility. It's not just that we are saved by grace, but when we are saved, we have the responsibility of doing what God has taught us in His Word. We are to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and in the place of that, we are to live soberly, righteously, and godly, not in some supposed millennial age out in the future, which will never come, but in this present world. And again, what God requires, grace will provide with us grace to do. Grace does not free us from keeping the law of Christ. No, grace does not free us from keeping the law of Christ. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8:2. But we go on and we read, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. James 1:25. Yes, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, yes, the law of liberty is freedom. Whom the Son makes free is free indeed. But James said he must continue in the law of Christ. He continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. We are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Grace does not free us from acts of obedience. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, we are told in Genesis 6:8. And how did he find grace in the eyes of the Lord? By obeying. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he, according to Genesis 6:22. So Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and in finding grace in the eyes of the Lord, he did what God commanded him to do. And that is still for us today. If we want to have the grace of God and continue in the grace of God, then we must continue in His commands. We must do those things that are pleasing and acceptable in His sight. The Ephesians were saved by grace, according to Ephesians 2:8, and obey. For we read in verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Yes, let me read verse 8 again. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. But then verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so grace has requirements. And if we have the grace of God, then we're going to endeavor to meet those requirements. We're going to obey the word of God. The same can be said not only for the Ephesians, but for everyone living yet today. Grace excludes boasting on our part. Again, we are told in the 8th verse of Ephesians, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." And then we read on in verse 9, "Not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God." Now, can you imagine someone who was able to buy their salvation, how they would go around boasting about how much they had paid for it? But, beloved, salvation is not bought with gold and silver, and it's not bought with good works either. Salvation is obtained through the grace of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. But having been saved, our life is to show forth good works. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Good works cannot offset the bad. It takes the blood of Christ. Yes, it takes the blood of Christ. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it and made it white as snow. Sin cannot be redeemed by man. No, there's nothing that man can do of himself. Again, gold and silver cannot buy it. Good works cannot buy it. Sin cannot be redeemed by man. Jesus is the one who paid our price. He is the one that is our perpetuator. And the atonement is through Jesus Christ and not of ourselves. Does not the Bible say that a leopard cannot change his spot? Which is to tell us that a sinner cannot change his heart, cannot change his life, cannot save himself. It is only through Jesus Christ. There's only one name given under heaven whereby we may be saved, and that name is Jesus Christ. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So sin cannot be redeemed by man. Jesus paid it all. We do not merit salvation when we obey the gospel. Again, salvation is the gift of God. And it is a privilege to obey God. It's a privilege to live for God. His way is right. His commandments are right. His commandments are for our good. The Word of God says His commandments are not grievous. No, His way is right. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Grace is not God's license to sin. Paul asked the question in Romans 6 and 1, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" So grace is not God's license to sin. Some people have advanced a foolish idea that once you are covered by the blood, God cannot look through the blood and see your sins. That kind of reasoning is ridiculous and contrary to the teachings of God's word. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, I refer to Titus chapter 2. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Christians cannot excuse themselves from strict obedience because of grace. "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin." So the Apostle John tells us in 1 John chapter 3 and the latter part, or the first part of verse 9. So Christians cannot excuse themselves from strict obedience
to God's Word just because they have the grace of God. To the contrary, it is the grace of God that enables us to live in obedience to God's Word. To reject God's grace is to reject the gospel, and to reject the gospel is to remain lost in sin. Yes, to reject the grace of God is to reject the gospel, and to reject the gospel is to reject Jesus Christ and continue a life of sin. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And every one of us must make the decision whether we're going to choose life or whether we're going to choose death. God told Old Testament Israel, I have set before you good and evil, life and death. Choose. But God exhorted them to choose life. And I would do the same thing on this broadcast today. I would exhort you to choose life, life eternal, which Jesus Christ made available to you through the grace of God. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation, and may the Holy Spirit work in hearts and accomplish good through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you. We do trust that our broadcast service is a blessing to you, and it would be an encouragement to us if you'd take time to write and let us know. Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. If you have a prayer request that you'd like to share with us, I trust that you'll feel free to write and send it in. Again, our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. And our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. Our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. And remember, on our webpage, you can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine. You can listen to a number of our broadcasts anytime, day or night. And there are also other services there that you can download and listen to. Also, you can join us in our Sunday services. Our morning worship service begins at 20 minutes to 11 Eastern Time, and our evening worship service begins at 6. And our services are broadcast over the Internet as we conduct them here in our house of worship. Our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for listening to the broadcast today. We invite you to tune in the station next week when, again, the Lord willing, will be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the blessings of heaven rest and abide upon each and every one of you, is our sincere prayer.